Welcome to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko, the show that brings you man-on-the-street interviews, celebrity guests, and groundbreaking research. Our show is also known as everything you've always wanted to know about dentistry, but we're too numb to ask. I'm General Dentist Dr. Brian Kvitko, and thank you for joining me today.
The following views and opinions do not necessarily reflect those of this station, its staff, management, or parent company. To hear a replay of this show or one of the other great shows that previously aired, log on to dentallyspeaking.com or iTunes, keywords Dr. Kvitko or Dentally Speaking. Listeners should not use Dr. Kvitko's comments and advice in place of an actual dental exam.
Brighten your life with a smile that shows the professional touch of Dr. Kvitko.
Time now for Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko to discuss your dental issues. Now, here's your host, Dr. Kvitko.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Dentally Speaking. Thank you for joining me today. It's a great day. Hey, today we have an interesting show. We are going to, well, first of all, we're going to talk about, this is the 70th anniversary of the first public water fluoridation program. It was actually January 25th, 1945. We're going to tell you that story. Also on the show, we're going to hear more about how road construction and dentistry are similar. Plus, we're going to hear the gruesome truth behind Hollywood's most famous smiles. All right, today is show number 369, and we are streaming live on Ustream TV. You can access that by going to ustream.com, that's a U, not Y-O-U, and you scroll all the way down, click on Watch, then search for Dentally Speaking, or you can also go to dentallyspeaking.com and click on the word Live. All right, and that's pretty cool. So, yeah, and it's a jam-packed show, so I need to get on with it. January 25th, 1945, Grand Rapids, Michigan became the first community in the United States to fluoridate its drinking water to prevent tooth decay. By 2008, more than 72% of the U.S. population served by public water systems had access to fluoridated water. The story of fluoridation, it started as an observation that soon took the shape of an idea. It ended 5 decades later as a scientific revolution that shot dentistry into the forefront of preventative medicine. This is the story about how dental science discovered and ultimately proved to the world that fluoride, a mineral found in rocks and soil, prevents tooth decay. Although dental caries remains a public worry, it's no longer the unbridled problem it once was, thanks to fluoride. And the story is kind of neat. It was a brand new dentist that had just graduated, and it was Dr. McKay. In 1909, which is just after the Wright brothers had their first flight, because I believe that was in 1907. Anyway, He went out to Colorado to open up a dental practice in Colorado Springs. When he got there, he was astounded to find that scores of the Colorado Springs natives, they had this grotesque brown stain on their teeth, so severe that these permanent stains, in fact, sometimes entire teeth were splotched the color of chocolate candy. He searched in vain for information about the bizarre disorder, and he found no mention of it anywhere in the literature. Local residents blamed the problem on any number of strange factors, such as eating too much pork, consuming inferior milk, and drinking calcium-rich water. But anyway, he took up this issue, and he did the first epidemiological investigations, which initially were scuttled because nobody was interested. Nobody thought it was a problem. But anyway, he went out, and he convinced some people to come out, and basically this Dr. G.V. Black, to observe. Dr. Black wrote, "I spent considerable time walking on the streets, noticing the children in their play, attracting their attention and talking with them about their games, for the purpose of studying the general effect of the deformity. I found it prominent in every group of children. One does not have to search for it, for it is continually forcing itself on the attention of the stranger by its persistent prominence. This is much more than a deformity of childhood. If it were only that, it would be of less consequence, but it is a deformity of life." And he was right, because once these teeth are stained, they stay that way forever. I actually have a patient that came to me that had that same thing going on in his mouth. He came from another country, one of the African nations. So anyway, he investigated it, and they eventually, it took a long time to figure out what happened was, it turns out it was fluoride. They didn't really know what it was initially, but there was this city that opened up a drinking, like a water line that served several, this whole community, and the children started having this black stain on their teeth. And so they asked them to stop using that and to start using the spring, a spring water, and the problem went away. So once they figured out that it was actually fluoride, they called it fluorosis, or mottled enamel, then they were able to do some research and figure out what percent of fluoride, because they figured out, well, here's the other thing. These children, they didn't get any cavities. Their teeth were terrible, but they didn't get any cavities. They were ugly, they were brown, but they didn't get decay. So once they figured out what it was, then they were able to figure out the actual amount that still prevents tooth decay, but it doesn't cause that brown stain and the coloration. So it's pretty neat, and the fact that this got started back in 1909 is even cooler to me. And it took a, it's funny because it took this chemist, this chief chemist, H.V. Churchill. He worked for Alcoa, and they had their company headquarters in Pennsylvania. He'd spent the past few years refuting claims that aluminum cookware was poisonous, worried that the report that drinking water might be fresh fodder for Alcoa's detractors. He decided to conduct his own test of the water in Bauxite, which is a town in Pennsylvania. So anyway, he's the one that figured out that it was fluoride and that it was already in the water. And just so you know, fluoridation in some areas means taking fluoride out of the water, not adding it. So, all right. Anyway, this is the 70th anniversary of that. And it was in Grand Rapids, Michigan, 1945. That'll be important for you to remember later.
All right. So a few shows ago, we had Farzan Ahmed on the radio show. He is the director of District 6 for ODOT, the Ohio Department of Transportation. He is in charge of all of the road projects that you see going on in central Ohio, including the north side fix, the trench, the south side fix, the downtown split, all of that stuff. And the reason I have him on the show is to talk about the similarities between dentistry, what I do, building tooth bridges, and what he does, building bridges that we drive on. So we're going to pick up the interview right after he had explained to me about, you know, when that those walls that on the roadway over the freeway, and then there's a chain link fence on there, and then over time you see the cement crumbles where they had to put the drill into the concrete to put the supports for the fence. And Farzan had just explained to me how they use epoxy and why they can't have them in there to begin with, and that they work on it, and they're trying to come up with a better plan. That's what we were talking about right prior to this section of the interview.
Well, just an observation that I made, and I appreciate all the answers because it usually isn't as easy as we lay people would think it is, but it's good to know you guys are on top of it and trying to come up with a solution. It's just such a shame because you'll see these parapet walls where whether it says Easton or it says Polaris or Gemini Parkway, and then a few years later, it looks like it's got these rust stains, you know, crying off of the top.
Well, I can see that you have empathy towards construction work, but you are also of a profession which has a similar reputation as construction. People are afraid of construction, and people are definitely afraid to go to the dentist. And I think that's why you understand the difficulties surrounding construction work.
You mean people are afraid to go to the dentist? I didn't know that. Yeah. Obviously, I did. Yeah, let me tell you a story.
I had a patient. I forget how long this one was. It might have just been. It must only like 2 or 3 weeks. And the gentleman, we get these calls all the time where people say, "I lost a filling. I need a new filling, and my tooth hurts like crazy." Now, to me, pain tells me there's more than just a missing filling. It usually means the decay's gone into the nerve or very close to it, and the person is looking at either a root canal or an extraction in some cases. So I wanted him to know that it wasn't just going to be a routine filling, or most likely it wouldn't. And he was going, no, I just lost a filling, and I don't want a root canal. Can't you just fill it? Well, you know what happens if we put a filling on a tooth that has a live nerve when the numbness wears off?
They start screaming. They start screaming because it hurts so much. I mean, you can't put a filling in a live nerve. It's just going to hurt like crazy. But that's what they think they need, and sometimes that's what they say they want. I think it's just because they want to save money, but they don't really get it.
Oh, yes, and of course, we go through some of that when we are fixing our pavements.
Well, at least your pavement doesn't like start screaming when it's all hardened. I'm sorry, go ahead. I interrupted. I'm sorry.
There are times when a pothole is just a surface issue and you go ahead and fix that pothole. But there are times when you see some raveling or some other signs of disrepair on the surface that are actually not just a surface problem, but a problem down at the bottom, in the subbase, which would be similar to a root canal with teeth.
Exactly. It's collapsed for a reason. It didn't just, like, fillings don't fall out. They don't fall out. They can't fall out. They're held in by your tooth. Now, if your tooth got rotten, your filling might fall out. And if you're, and if the, the foundation underneath this construction, this road or this bridge or this parapet wall, if that's gotten mushy, you're going to have a collapse. And I think I see in some of these temporary roads that you guys had to build here along the Josephinum Pontifical College where we're getting a little collapse. But that's because it wasn't built with the idea it had to last for 50 years. It was built with the idea it had to last for 2.5, right?
That is correct. Those temporary roads don't have the same makeup underneath the road as the permanent roads, obviously. We just try to get it as clean as possible and try to put in, try to get rid of the mud and try to get rid of some of the muck and the obviously soft spots. But once it looks reasonably secure, then we go ahead and put in the pavement because the intention of that pavement is just to be in place for one or two construction seasons.
Yeah, I have people that will say to me, they come in and they've got this crown, this cap that has a post on it, and it's come out. And they want me to re-cement it. And I look in their mouth, feel in there, take an x-ray, feel, and it's all soft. It's just all rotten. It's decay. And I think they think when I tell them, I'm really sorry, but we can't use this one. We have to get all this decay out. We have to get down to something solid, maybe a post and core. Maybe we can do pin retention like rebar. They say, well, can't you just cement it? And I go, I can't cement to mud. I can't cement to pudding. You can't cement to water. It just, it doesn't work. And you guys can't either.
We have those situations a lot when we're dealing with repair on bridge piers and retaining walls and abutments, especially when we're working close to a river or some other wet situation. Yes, you get rid of all the concrete and all the raveling that's going on, but you got to get down to something which is nice and solid. Sometimes that's possible. Sometimes that just means complete replacement.
Right, and that's what I deal with, is there are times when I just say to the person, I'm really sorry, John, I can't save this tooth because if in trying, I would be so far up inside your jawbone that it just wouldn't work. And there's always that, there's a little bit of this distrust, like, is he just trying to make more money? You know, you guys don't have that. You guys, I'm pretty sure, am I right? You don't get that. You just tell the state what it is you need, and you tell the contractors, here's what we want, give us a price. Is that pretty much how this works?
Well, initially, when we are working with our designers, sometimes products are designed by in-house people, and sometimes products are designed by our consultants. They do a great job for us. In this particular case, the consultant came through and gave us a very good design. But we do go through those conversations, you know, when the consultant will come back and tell us that, hey, we need to look at this. And, you know, it is our job to, we are a fiduciary of the taxpayers' money. So we do look at everything and say, okay, is it necessary? Do we really need to do this? Or is it just an extra fringe? And we are very judicious about that.
Okay, got it. All right. And that's the same thing as somebody asking me if, can you just do it this way? And you know what? There are cases where I'll say to them, you know what? I can't promise you this is going to work, but if you want me to try and you're not going to kind of come back on me later and say, you fixed my tooth and it didn't last. If you're asking me to do something that really isn't typical, not something every dentist would say, oh yeah, let's do this, I'll do it if they're willing to take the risk. And I'll tell you what, I had a lady that I told her she had to have several teeth out way back in 1983 because they were pretty much broken off at the gum line. They were solid but broken off. And they go, would you please try? And they didn't. They said, I promise I won't hold you responsible if it doesn't work. I said, okay. Had her sign the chart, all that kind of stuff. And you know what? She's still a patient. It's been 33 years or something, and she has every one of those still.
Well, wow.
Well, sometimes things work out. Sometimes they don't, I guess, right?
Well, sometimes they do, and it's a good thing that she listened to you and you got that thing done for her. But yeah, we see a lot of that in our interstate. They get our interstates take so much abuse from the excessive amount of traffic that we see on them, which is what they're designed for. But we got to keep them maintained and keep them going. So just getting it built. You know, we just completed I-71, the third lane of I-71 from Columbus to Cleveland.
I want to thank you from all of my listeners and all of my family for doing that.
Well, having been a 22-year resident of Central Ohio, I know the immense amount of difference that it has made in the commute from here to points north, and yes, that has been tremendous for this whole region. But now that we've got nice, brand-new pavement down, we put all that pavement down because we know that there are tens of thousands of cars and trucks, heavy 18-wheeler trucks, that use that on a regular basis. So we know it's going to take a lot of abuse. So just getting it built is not enough. Now we'll have to make sure that we watch it and keep it maintained. Over the next few years, since it's still new pavement, maintenance is going to be minimal. It's going to be just maybe a little bit of pothole patching every now and then after a bad winter, maybe fixing an edge here or there. But as time passes, yes, we'll have to start getting into some maintenance as well.
I notice when I go to Michigan, that team up north, you know, I notice that their trucks, they have stiffer requirements for the weight, I think, the trucks on a roadway. They have as many wheels as you can fit under the truck. Do you know what I'm talking about? They have all these extra wheels on these trucks. Yeah, so they seemed, I mean, the more wheels, the less weight that any one wheel puts on the roadway. And am I right? Is it a different weight limitation that they have up in Michigan than down here in Ohio? And should we consider their restrictions?
I'm not sure if there are different weight limitations. But I can tell you that what you're referring to is what we refer to here as a superload. And it's not unusual to see that. These days, you're seeing a lot of that in eastern Ohio because of the shale play. There are a lot of machines and a lot of generators and power plant type equipment that's being delivered to that part of the state. And you do see a lot of these superloads. You see some of these superloads on I-71 every now and then too. So yes, those excessive number of wheels are there just to limit the amount of point loading on the pavement itself. And the other thing that you see with these superloads is you see escort vehicles. You'll see a highway patrol officer or a couple, and you might see several trucks with beacons on to make sure that people are aware that there's this supersize, gigantic machine or that looks like some sort of a semi on steroids and double steroids right next to you as you're going in your station wagon or your minivan.
It looks like an octopus because it has like a center pod and then it's supported on another set of wheels on both sides and then another set of wheels on both sides of that. That's what I think.
Well, it's quite a sight to watch. There's no doubt about it. Yeah, it's a huge machine and the amount of weight that you can carry as you distribute that weight along those wheels and with the extra number of axles is quite impressive.
Now, these walls, in this case, you've poured a form to make it look like brick. Who decides what the optics are going to be on these projects? Is it the local community or ODOT? You guys have your own kind of design standards?
Doc, you have often heard people mention the term environmental when it comes to projects. And typically when you hear the word environment, you think about trees and streams and water. But for an ODOT project or for any...
Okay, soon we're going to do Dr. Kavicko's question of the day. The winner is going to receive free flowers from Weissenberg Florist. You may want to remember that on January 25th, 1945, in Grand Rapids, Michigan, that's what became the first community in the United States to fluoridate its drinking water to prevent tooth decay.
This station will not be held liable for any contesting during Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kavicko. Participation in the contest allows Dr. Kavicko to record and broadcast your name and call. One winner per household, prizes are non-transferable, cannot be substituted, and are subject to taxes and fees. This station cannot be responsible for the inability to enter the contest, whether due to equipment malfunction or telephone difficulties. All decisions of Dr. Kavicko concerning this contest or eligibility are final.
And now it's time for Dr. Kavitko's question of the day.
And the question of the day is, in what year and in what city did fluoridating drinking water to prevent tooth decay begin in the United States? Was it A, 1845 in Boston, Massachusetts, B, 1945 in Grand Rapids, Michigan, C, got to get to C here, that's page two, 1985 in Eugene, Oregon, or D, 2015 in Columbus, Ohio? All right, the winner receives free flowers from Weissenberg Florist, delivered to your place of business this Tuesday afternoon. Go ahead and call 459-9769, 459-9769, so go ahead and call now.
Stay tuned to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kavicko.
I bet everyone knows someone who is afraid of the dentist. In fact, 40% of Americans don't go to the dentist on a regular basis. The number one reason? Fear. Well, take heart. Here at Dr. Kavicko & Associates, we've been doing intravenous sedation since 1985, and we offer several sedation options, so we're certain we can help you. Want to be sedated for a filling? We do that. Want to be sedated for a cleaning? We do that. How about a root canal or a crown? We can sedate you for those, too. Give us a call at 614-262-9588 or go to drkavicko.com.
Estás escuchando Dentally Speaking con Dr. Kawiko aquí en su estación favorita.
Hi, I'm Dr. Kavitko. A lot of people ask me if I'm accepting new patients. They know I've been practicing for 34 years, so they assume I'm not. Well, guess what? They're wrong. I do accept new patients. After all, if I'm doing my job correctly, I get my patients healthy, so all they need is routine exams, cleanings, and the occasional filling or two. So that leaves me free to take care of you. So yes, I do accept new patients, and I would love to treat you, your family, and your friends. Give my office a call at 614-262-9588 or go to drkavitko.com.
Dentally Speaking is his talk show. Dr. Kavitko, let's go!
Because I'm happy. Clap along if you feel like a room without a roof. Because I'm happy. Clap along if you feel like happiness is the truth. Because I'm happy.
All right, we're back. We're doing Dr. Kavitko's question of the day, and we have some callers on the line. I guess the phone's actually still ringing, but let me just throw a dice. Let's go with caller number one. That would be Mary. Mary, are you there? Let's see. Mary's caller number one. Oh, did we lose Mary?
I'm here.
Oh, she's there. Hi, Mary. How are you?
I'm good, thanks.
Do you have the answer to Dr. Kavitko's question of the day?
Yes, it was January 25th, 1945, Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Perfect. Good. That's great. So you're going to win the free flowers. How about that?
That's wonderful. Thank you.
And thank you for listening. And please tune in every Sunday morning about the same time, okay?
Okay, great.
Okay, stay on the phone, though, because we have to get your information to make sure you get those flowers.
Thank you.
Okay, so we're going to talk a little more about the construction and dentistry connections. But before I do, I want to make sure I get this part about the gruesome truth behind Hollywood's most famous smiles. Okay? Came across this article. It's actually pretty cool. Now, it's no secret that A-list celebrities frequently turn to cosmetic dentistry to straighten, fix, and brighten their teeth to achieve the megawatt smiles we're used to seeing. During the golden age of Hollywood, however, many stars went further than a little tooth whitening to maintain their iconic status. Some of the stars were hiding painful secrets after dental treatments left them with chronic problems. Here's one, Clark Gable's life-threatening illness. By the time he was 32 years old, William Clark Gable had almost a full set of dentures. The pinup actor and star of Gone with the Wind suffered with gum problems when he was young, and a serious bout of periodontal disease in 1933 led to his dentist extracting most of his teeth. After being hospitalized for several days, Gable retreated to Canada to rest and to allow his gums to recover enough for dentures. After being fitted with his, they were actually partial dentures, he got another infection and he was again hospitalized. This time he had his gallbladder removed. And it must have been that, not all teeth. But anyway, out of action for a month, the star's illness caused delays to the filming of Dancing Lady, and the movie went $150,000 over budget. MGM's Louis Mayer from Golden, I think Metro-Golden-Mayer, you know, was so annoyed that he withheld a fortnight's pay from Gable and loaned him out to the struggling Columbia Pictures studio to teach him a lesson. Although his move turned out well for Gable, with his appearance in It Happened One Night winning him his only Oscar, it left a lot of ill feeling between him and Meyer. Gable's mouthful of dentures left him with persistent halitosis, and he became known throughout Hollywood for his bad breath, particularly among his leading ladies. His Gone with the Wind co-star, Vivien Leigh, complained about his breath on more than one occasion over the course of filming. Marlena Dietrich's drastic measures were that, you know, that she actually had her upper molars extracted to highlight her cheekbones. And the same thing happened with, well, actually, removing the back teeth accentuated her cheeks. The German beauty was famous all over the world for her distinctive look and striking cheekbones, but it appears only part of her unique appearance was from the jeans, from her jeans. Joan Crawford did something similar. She had her back teeth removed. After her extractions, though, her front teeth kind of flayed out. We see that in people that are missing back teeth. And so the dentist of the day had to kind of fill in those gaps at first with some kind of a tooth-colored cement. Didn't really have tooth-colored filling yet. And eventually had to grind down the teeth and put caps on them. Apparently, during this procedure, her upper lip swelled so much that and stayed swollen. Some kind of a reaction that never went away. However, it turned out to be one of the things that helped her in her career because of her full and distinctive lips. She enjoyed one of the longest and most successful careers Hollywood has ever seen, but suffered from dental issues for the rest of her life. In her late 60s, major dental surgery left her requiring round-the-clock medical care. That's really odd. I had not heard that story. And, of course, today's actors and actresses, you know, tooth straightening, veneers, teeth whitening, and basically, you know, just about everybody these days has access to that same kind of bright white teeth and straight teeth. Okay, so we're going to go back to some of the comparisons of, I think, you know what, I think let's go to a break right now, and then we'll come back.
This is Clark Kellogg. Stay tuned for more of Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko.
Here at Dr. Kvitko & Associates, we pride ourselves in being a one-stop shop, and we find our patients really appreciate it. Let's face it, no one likes being sent all over town for various procedures, and yet that is what happens at most dental offices. Need a root canal? We do that. Need a dental implant placed? We do that. Need gum surgery, wisdom teeth removed, or your teeth straightened? We do those as well. Why not give us a try? Call us at 614-262-9588 or go to drkvitko.com.
Vous écoutez à la radio du dentiste avec Dr. Kvitko, ici sur votre radio préférée.
Hi, I'm Dr. Kvitko. I'm intensely dedicated to providing the absolute best dental care. The word mediocre isn't in my vocabulary. I just won't take shortcuts. Isn't that what you want in the person you trust with sharp objects in your mouth? Of course it is. However, people tend to assume that high quality means expensive. But guess what? We're more affordable than you think. Our fees are about the same as one of those chains, but with us, you get my 34 years of experience and my unwavering commitment to quality. Discover for yourself. Call us at 614-262-9588 or go to drkvitko.com.
Hi, I'm Dominique Reigert. Like what you hear? Why not use the Dentally Speaking Show to promote your product or service by becoming a sponsor? Call 614-262-9588 to learn how. That's 614-262-9588. Call now or send an email to drkvitko at aol.com.
I'm Grandpa, and I go to Dr. Kvitko, and I still have all my teeth. Real ones. Where's my glasses?
I know you're lying, 'cause your lips are moving. Tell me, do you think I'm dumb? I might be young, but I ain't stupid. Talking around in circles with your tongue, I gave you base.
All right, we're back, and it looks like we're not going to have time to talk anymore about the connection between dentistry and construction, but it is very cool, and there's so many parallels. We'll probably come back to that at a future show. So let me just talk a little bit more about the fluoride, because I think there's some more things I wanted to mention. You know, there is a little bit of a controversy. Some people think fluoride shouldn't be in the drinking water because they worry about the mottled enamel and the fluorosis. But I'll tell you that at one part per billion, it's very, very safe. You know, you just don't see issues. And the number of children's, I mean, I can spot a child who grew up without fluoride in their water the minute they sit down in my chair, sometimes before they do. I just ask them to smile. And when they smile, we see all kinds of cavities. I'm talking cavities on the gum line, you know, right on the front teeth up by the gum line, everywhere. And with the fluoride, you don't see that at all. It's just an amazing find. It's very cool. And it's been around for a long, long time. So it's very, very safe. And I don't want people to worry about it. Now, we can, it only helps children, the drinking water. Well, that's not true. It helps when it's in contact with your teeth. If you have a glass of fluoridated water, while the water's in your mouth, you get a little benefit as an adult. But it's not as much as a child who it gets into the bloodstream and it actually becomes incorporated into the matrix of the teeth. So instead of calcium hydroxyapatite, which is what teeth are made of, you actually get fluoroapatite crystals. All right. So, like I said, next week or in the coming weeks, we're going to go ahead and tell more about the construction. All right, that's all the time we have. Don't forget to follow me on Twitter. Be sure to join me next Sunday and every Sunday morning right here on your favorite station. Goodbye.
Before we leave, let me tell you a little something.
This is Carly Red from Love & Hip Hop Atlanta, the hit show on VH1, urging you to tune in next week for another exciting episode of Dentally Speaking with my dentist, Dr. Kvitko.
If you're interested in learning more about this and other dental health topics, go to dentallyspeaking.com to access full episodes of Dr. Kvitko's show.
If you would like to book Dr. Kvitko to speak at your next event, please call 614-262-9588. That's 614-262-9588. Or send an email to drkvitko@dentallyspeaking.com. DrKVitkoSpeaking.com. That's DrKVitko@DentallySpeaking.com.